All right, let us go down to San Diego. Craig Elston is with us. Boy, I've been talking to Craig for more than 10 years about Padre baseball, and I still can't figure out what station he's on. It's the mighty 1090, right?
Yeah, that's right, Marty. I was actually thinking about that, and it's been 18 years. I met you first spring training in 2001.
Wow.
In Scottsdale, I remember that.
Holy cow. My goodness. All right, so now it's the mighty 1090, right?
Yeah, that's right. Mighty 1090's been around since 2003 down in San Diego here, and I've been working there since 2012, been working in San Diego sports for 25 years almost, and also on the Padres, host the Make the Padres Great Again podcast that is ballyhooed from one side of the county to the other.
You're starting to sound like Ted Leitner there for a second. All right. Well, good. Well, listen. I thought you were kidding. I thought Raph was kidding when he said the name of the show. But okay, I'll go with that.
I'll tell you, it was initially an ironic title that wound up taking on other meanings. But we really did want the Padres to be great, and I think they're on their way, Marty.
Yeah, very exciting couple of games. Of course, from Giant fans, we've had a lot of excitement and World Series wins and parades and World Series in 2002 and coming close other years. But for the Padres, it's been a while, hasn't it? It's really been a while since you could say, wow, this is a Padre team that can get it done.
I mean, honestly, you go back to the beginning of the Petco Park era, because the last winning record for the Padres was 2010. They came up a game short, as you well know, of the Giants, and the Giants wound up going on to win the World Championship. But that year's Padres team was kind of made with smoke and mirrors and was a remarkable team, one of those random baseball teams that come around at once every 10 or 12 cycles that aren't really that great, but wind up winning 90 games. But really, before that, I'd say the last really good Padres team was 2007 that lost when Matt Holliday didn't touch home plate in the playoff game there, game 163 in 2007. I mean, it's really been that long since the Padres have had an honest-to-goodness good team. And I think even then they didn't have close to the foundation and the excitement that they have now.
Yeah, it's electric. Someone described it today as being almost like the World Baseball Classic, that atmosphere in the dugout, something like that. Accurate?
I think so. I think you see the swagger of this team, and it's just evident, and it makes the decision to forego essentially a whole year of control, potentially, to bring up Fernando Tatis Jr. to start the season. It really makes sense when you see the way that he scores last night and gets the team fired up and gets everybody going. And you know that Machado is there and that he's going to be somebody that's the engine that drives the thing as you go on. And all of a sudden, the lineup fits into a lot of places. There's a lot of youth and a lot of energy as a result.
The Padres have always been built on a bullpen. Someone commented last night on the broadcast, it seems like every year, I don't know who these guys are, but every year you go back to Utsuka and that whole crowd of guys, you would run in there, Brad Lynch, and I forget half the names of the people, but it seems like every year the bullpen just sprouts up and gets it done.
Well, there's only one name that's the constant, and that's Darren Balsley, right? The pitching coach for the Padres has spanned multiple different managers, and I truly believe he's the best in the game. It's something that I don't think gets nearly the attention it would have if he was doing his craft in New York, Boston, Chicago, major markets that paid deep attention to baseball. He's done it in San Diego year after year after year, and right now it's Kirby Yates, who is a Angels cast-off, who's the closer, and Lance Barksdale probably, I think people in San Francisco think, get the assist last night on that second save. But Yates has been terrific. Craig Stammen is a guy that was kind of resuscitated out of Washington, a veteran that's really led the way, and they mix and match, right? And now you've got some of those young arms like Matt Strom, who last year, middle innings, but incredible stuff. Now he's going to get the opportunity to be the fifth starter for the club, and you really start to see how arms can develop in this system and then go to the bullpen, get refined by Balsley, who is very simple in finding what someone does well. And whatever that thing is, emphasize that thing, use them in that role, and it seems to work like it works magically.
Yeah, Linebrink, that was another one. Was Heath Bell? Wasn't Heath Bell there too?
Heath Bell, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Saw Heath Bell at a high school function just 2 days ago, retired now. But, yeah, he was an all-star closer. Of course, Trevor for so many years. But you can go through the list. I mean, Houston Street was bad, came there, got rehabilitated, moved on, and so on the list goes.
Yeah, amazing. All right, Craig Elston is with us of the Mighty 1090 Make the Padres Great Again show. All right, I'll accept that. But it is fun to see him playing, but it's going to take more than obviously Tatis, Machado, and there's the Margots of the world, the Reyeses of the world, Hosmer, Myers. Those guys, if the other guys kind of do their thing, maybe these guys can kind of sneak in where you don't have to rely on them completely, because I don't think they're exactly carriers. It looks like they're major contributors.
You know, and when the Padres signed Eric Hosmer last year, I think a lot of people had that valid criticism that he's not a guy that's going to carry the club. But then you see the addition of Machado and you see the development of guys like Franmil Reyes, and you see how the catcher position is developing, and all of a sudden there's depth up and down the lineup, and now Hosmer is a guy that can hit fifth, can hit second, can hopefully focus on what he does well, be a good glove at first base, and contribute in that way, and now you see the synergy, but really that comes back to a Padre ownership commitment to spend first at the international level, and now we've seen, 3 years in a row at the big league level, making big contract commitments, none bigger, of course, than Manny Machado. And it really shows you that this group wants to win. They want to see what we've wanted to see since we started Make the Padres Great Again podcast in 2015, to see this team actually rise to a level where the Giants were, right? Where every year you're winning the championship or playing for it and having a valid chance for a big window that spans most of a decade. If the Padres' cards play right and all of these prospects, number one ranked system, a system that people think the numbers 20 to 30 in the system right now would be in a lot of different franchises' top tens, including the Giants, there's really a chance for the Padres to be good for a long time.
What does it mean to you to have Bochy retire and announce it beforehand? What sort of reception did he get down there? How is he thought of in San Diego?
The highest level. I mean, Bruce Bochy, none of us, I don't ever think, wanted to see him go, but it was probably the best for him, right, in the long run. Sometimes change works out the best for everybody. But I think it worked out for Bruce.
A little bit.
Francisco better than it did for the Padres. I got the chance to cover Bruce, 4 years on a day-to-day basis, and Boch is the best. He, as you know, you've been around him for so long now, right, Marty? And, Boch, he'll talk to you square. He'll tell it like it is. He's funny. He's wry. He's honest. And he's that way with his players as well. And there's a reason everyone loves him. He's a sure thing Hall of Famer. And it couldn't happen to a better person.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I know he got a big ovation on opening day. All right, tell us about Nick Margavicious, if I said it correctly, and a little bit of Chris Paddock, who we're going to see tomorrow.
And they've both got similar career tracks right now in terms of rocketing through the system, being challenged at AA at a very young age, responding, and now getting another rocket shot up to the big leagues. And Margavicious, surprising, but pitched well in spring training, electric stuff for a left-hander, great strikeout-to-walk ratio. Has command, has, some good stuff, but how long is he going to last today? First start. This is a shocker, really. Only pitched in the playoffs in AA last year. No real AA time. So you're talking about started at Fort Wayne in low A. Mm. He made his way up to Lake Elsinore up in North County, San Diego, high single A, and then the playoffs for AA, and now he's up to the big leagues. And if this is a bullpen start, so to speak, where Margavicious starts as an opener and is followed quickly by a bullpen parade, I wouldn't be particularly surprised by that. I also wouldn't be surprised if he came out and pitched pretty well because we've seen that already all weekend.
Pitches to contact, very few walks, a lot of strikeouts in the minor leagues. Big leagues, it's a little harder to do that because when they make contact, they can hurt you. But you call it maybe an opener, huh? Because I know he pitched about four innings, and most he pitched in a start in spring. So maybe they won't stretch him out today.
I mean, I just wouldn't be surprised if it was a time through the lineup and then they were careful and they had somebody as a long man up behind it. But with that said, Andy Green's used his bullpen very aggressively the last two games, so probably he'd like innings if he could get them.
Andy Green is the poster child for why 2020 is going to have a reliever have to pitch the three batters.
Yeah. Take it while you can get it, I guess, right, Marty?
Yep.
I'd say Bruce Bochy kind of qualifies too, don't you think?
Not as bad as this guy. Come on. This is 5 2/3 and start the parade and lefty-righty, lefty-righty. I mean, he's the reason is going to happen, I'm telling you. He's one of the reasons.
Well, and when the Padres were going well, which they did for a five-series stretch last year, they won five series in a row in early June, like May to June. And in that time, he was running out five, six relievers a game, electric stuff, really commanding the game from the fifth inning down, converting those small leads into wins. And undoubtedly, that's how Andy thinks he needs to win. And the one issue I think that you're going to see for this club is that you've got all young pitching with a very random couple of exceptions, you know, guys like Craig Stammen and Aaron Loop. And other than that, you're talking about young arms that the Padres want to protect, that they don't want to burn out and overextend. A lot of guys starting in the majors for the first time. And if they go hard and heavy at the start of the year, Lauer and Lucchese are second-year guys. They came out and, through almost two consecutive quality starts. Lucchese was taken out before he could finish the sixth, but two really good starts. You're going to see those innings limits and innings counts pile up by midseason. Never mind what's happening to the bullpen behind if every starter is looking at five or six innings because they've got an innings count. So it's a very effective strategy while it works, but I think you need a lot of quality innings out of the bullpen to do it. If there's anyone to conjure those, it's probably Darren Balsley.
All right. Well, you've laid it out very nicely. By the way, as you and I are talking, Bryce Harper, his first home run is a Philly. And, of course, the place has gone absolutely bonkers for Bryce Harper. Now, Machado is there. Place bonkers for him?
Yes. I got to tell you, being at opening day this year, and I was there in 2004 for the very first one, and I've been there for good Padres clubs, and I've been there for some really bad Padres clubs, and it was unlike anything I had seen, including 2004. For the first time, Marty, and I know this sounds bad in a way, but it's the truth, for the first time walking the concourse on opening day against the Giants, I didn't see a parade of orange.
Yeah.
San Diegans bought the tickets. And they were there, and it was loud, and it was different. This town was wounded when the San Diego Chargers upped and left for Carson, California. And it's a wound that's still not healed. But a team like the Padres showing they want to win, making commitments to guys like Machado, it's so rewarded. And Manny, it's Manny mania. I mean, I see Manny T-shirts, jerseys, wherever I went, in the Gaslamp Quarter before and after the game. You just saw it everywhere, and if it wasn't Manny, it was Fernando Tatis Jr., and they're both up, and they're playing together, and oh my gosh, here we go.
Good for baseball. That's good for baseball, to see that, especially in San Diego. Well, great to have you on, as always. By the way, the trades, come on, Tatis comes from the White Sox for James Shields, Fernando Rodney goes to the Marlins for Paddock. These are, I love Mejia. Let me tell you, he's a little guy, but he can swing the bat, and we haven't seen him behind the plate yet. I don't know what sort of a defender he is, but that trade, the Brad Hand trade, brought him. The Padres have made some pretty good trades now. Of course, we had trades that didn't work out a few years ago, but these look like they're legit.
I agree. I think really Preller made a lot of it. And here's the thing, man. Maybe it's a closing note. Preller made a lot of impetuous moves in the winter of 2014, thinking he could both develop his system and build an instant winner with big trades on the top level. And it spectacularly backfired with that 2015 team that won 74 games, and Matt Kemp was terrible, and Upton was one and done, and Derek Norris was awful, and really James Shields was a disappointment, and you just go down the line. You know, Kimbrel 1 year and out of the almost every one of those trades backfired on A.J. Preller. Most organizations would have probably cut ties with this guy either there or when they had the medical report scandal. But this guy undoubtedly knows how to build a farm system, and he's done it and created this aggressive move by being this great team, I should say, by being patient instead of aggressive over the course of the last 4 years. Well, now they've got the chance to win. And now you start to see big moves and Machado and Tatis coming up. And I think that they're so excited, and they're once again kind of a tad impetuous. And I'm wondering, is there a big bad move rostered up? Because there's been a lot of smart, good, calculated moves up until here.
No, it's great. Great to have you on. Again, the Mighty 1090, Craig Elston. Make the Padres Great Again show. I'll say it, even though I have trouble saying those words. But
no, it's just the Padres.
It's the phrase. I just can't say the phrase. You know that.
You don't want to make the Padres great because it's going to be hard on the Giants.
All right. It's the phrase. I have trouble with it. All right. Hey, Craig, thank you so much. If something crazy happens tonight, maybe we'll call you in the morning. But you gave us a great review of the Padres and the excitement going on in San Diego. So I appreciate it.
You got it. You can just call it MTPGA. That's what I generally do. And
Raph says no. Raph is shaking his head. No, we can't.
And the show's fun.
We can't do that either. Okay. Right. Have a good night. All right. Thanks, Craig.
Take care.
All right.